We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadway and Battery. You're listening to Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield.
I mean, we started with a countdown yesterday. How could we not today? 3 hours until the Warriors host Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. A sentence I still almost can't wrap my mind around. That's how shocking that Game 7 loss was by the Phoenix Suns. I actually did a hit with a radio station today in Phoenix, and I couldn't believe it. I said, I cannot believe I am on the air with you previewing anything other than Warriors-Suns Game 1 in your own backyard. But no, this sucker is in our backyard tonight. Luka Doncic has come to the yard to play, and the Warriors are hopefully ending two incredibly painful lost-in-the-woods years. 8 wins away from an NBA championship. I mean, I'm all about setting up tonight's game, Ray, and talking about where this could end, how it ends, how it might end, and all that stuff. But I want to spend a little bit of today appreciating where we are. Because if Warrior fans just want to determine from here on out, okay, you're in the Western Conference Finals, anything less than an NBA championship is just completely uncivilized and will not be tolerated around here. Like, I understand you. Congratulations. You got high standards. That's great. What this team had to go through and the balancing act of injuries, development, everything that they've put into the soup of this season, I didn't think it was going to come out here. And here we are. And I want to appreciate it a little bit today. Live in the moment, if you will, you know?
Okay. What am I going to do, tackle you?
Not you, but just...
No, I mean, it's... You know, look, they have... achieved more than a 3 seed should achieve. They've achieved more than a team that missed its 3 best players for more than 100 games should achieve. And at this point, they are in one of the least predictable Final Fours that the NBA has produced in recent years. So, you know, you're playing with the casino's money. You may crap out. But, you know, if you think at the end of this that you somehow got cheated, then, you know, go be a Laker fan.
All right, by the way, Miami, I officially see you now. What an impressive win by the Miami Heat last night. A 22-2 run to open the second half. They were down 8 at halftime, and then just get a monster second half and really all-around game out of Jimmy Butler, whose huge postseason continues. He's averaging 30 points per game this postseason with 2.3 steals this postseason. He dropped 41 last night, and he's got the NBA playoff best plus-minus out there. Jimmy Butler is plus 143 so far this postseason. The Heat had 12 blocks last night, and it felt like almost all of them came in about a 5 to 8 minute span there in that third quarter. It's one of those eyewitnesses make lousy witnesses, because they didn't obviously get all of them right there. But in that run, in that incredible turnaround third quarter last night for Miami, they looked about as scary as a team can look.
Yeah, I mean, they started poorly. And when they went down 13 early in the second quarter, you started thinking, well, maybe they're not up to this. They'll close this they'll close this margin some, but Boston doesn't fritter away games like this. They got outscored by 33 in the last 30 minutes. You know, that doesn't happen to the Celtics. So, yeah, it was a nice stake across the face for him.
Now, as you and I were kind of watching the beginning of that game last night during a commercial break, I think I told you, you know, if Miami is going to end up in the NBA Finals, they can't mess around. They got to win game one. I thought Boston was going to go in there to steal it. Obviously, that didn't happen. Obviously, you don't want that to happen here tonight. I mean, it's not it's not paramount to win game one, but boy, it sure makes the entire series move a lot smoother. And just, you know, you don't need to start your Western Conference Finals with a heart attack. So that's what the Warriors are looking to do tonight. They're looking to hold serve here in game one and just kind of figure out what they got to deal with over the course of this series, not in Luka Doncic, but in the rest of the Dallas Mavericks. Which of these guys are really coming to play? Who is locked in? How are they getting unlocked should they find themselves locked in? What role player most likely steps up in games one and two for the Dallas Mavericks is a question the Warriors are looking to see answered tonight, and then that'll be the adjustment for game two.
Well, define what you mean by a role player, because I wouldn't call Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, or Jalen Brunson role players.
No.
If you're talking somebody off-brand, you know, probably Reggie Bullock or Maxi Kleber.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. By the way, I've been hearing a lot of Reggie Bullock. Like, how is he the one guy in the world that's not Bullock? It's a Bullock. How's that happen? Do we see any, like, teal days or special pronunciation ferts over anything? Has he got umlauts over the O's?
No.
How are we getting...
Kleber doesn't even have one.
I know. But it's just, but that's what I'm talking about. It's about somebody coming off the bench, somebody whose name we really haven't even brought up yet because we haven't been worried about him, so on, so forth, but ends up making his presence felt here. And that's what the Warriors need to be looking out for. You know where it's coming. Where might it come from that surprises you is what the Warriors got to figure out here. And then that's usually, you know, kind of an equation you got to figure out in the moment. And only in the moment, because that guy usually doesn't show up two games in a row. That's just sort of how the playoffs work.
Well, it's the Gary Payton player. I mean, that's what you're talking about. The guy that you didn't expect to play 35 minutes who all of a sudden does. I mean, that, you know, it boils down as simply as that is, who's the guy who hurts you when you're not looking to get hurt?
Davis Bertans is the perfect don't let him be the guy candidate for what I'm talking about right here tonight.
No, he's got stuff over his vowels.
Does he?
I don't know. He does.
I don't know if he is a over vowel stuff. The king of over vowels is here. It's Luka Doncic.
No, he's over consonants.
Those are consonants. You are right about that. Lots of funny marks on the top of those letters, and he fills up a box score in an unbelievable fashion. I mean, last show yesterday, I think we spent almost an amount of time that made some of our audience uncomfortable on how good he was. Well, I sort of wanted to get that out of the way to set the table for today's show, where the focus is on appreciating how the Warriors got here, how they really are the NBA's only sustained dominant team of recent memory. I mean, there has been a merry-go-round of candidates to win titles since the Warriors stopped going to the finals 5 years in a row. And here they are. The old guys, still hungry, are back at it with a complement of young guys running with them that just makes this so fascinating. It really, really does. For what it's worth, the Mavericks have won 3 of 4 games against the Warriors this year. The Mavericks have won 9 of the last 11 games overall. Now, that sounds like it's not very good, but, you know, there's not a lot of what happened in the regular season is how it happens in the postseason. And remember, this is now multiple seasons of data points and results here. And there are dozens of moving parts. Most importantly, no Klay, no Draymond, no Curry, no Iguodala for an awful lot of that. Porter coming in and out of the lineup this year alone. Going back to last year, you got Allen Smilagic and Nico Mannion involved in those results. So the Warriors are a much different basketball team than the one that doesn't have a good recent resume against this Dallas Mavericks team. And that's what they need to show early tonight. And this is where I'm just a little bit worried about game one, because slow starts has been the hallmark pretty much for the Warriors playoff run, no matter who the opponent's been. I don't remember them breaking out of the gates and blowing Denver out of the water in any one particular game. And it really didn't fast start at all for the Warriors in any game against the Memphis Grizzlies. So a slow start tonight, you got a killer going against you, and a guy who does not slow start, a guy who's looking to get comfortable fast in Luka Doncic. A slow start tonight, battling uphill against a guy who controls the tempo of a game, it's not where the Warriors want to be.
No, they'd rather be up 28-4 at the end of the quarter.
That would be a great sign.
Yeah, but you know, the weird thing about the Warriors is, because of the way they play, the slow start isn't the killer. The killer is the bad third quarter, because that's when you've got to punch uphill and you don't have a whole lot of time to do it. If they're shooting okay, it doesn't matter if they start slow, because they can eat those points up quickly. But if they fall behind early and aren't making their shots like they did in at least a couple of games of the Memphis series, then everything is an uphill punch. But, you know, it's sort of like turnovers. You know, objectively, turnovers are bad. For these guys, it's part of the price of doing business.
The business tonight that Kevon Looney needs to do is obvious. I mean, no one's expecting 22 rebounds out of him again. Can you get 15? That's a big question, I think, goes into tonight's soup. Jordan Poole establishing himself either as a comfortable, playing well asset for the Warriors, or maybe even a little bit of a demerit if he is not shooting well and is clearly the point of attack for the Dallas Mavericks offense. So an awful lot of early tests will be taken in the first quarter alone tonight as we get into game one of the Western Conference Finals in about a half an hour from now. Derek Harper, a 16-year-long NBA career, a dozen of them with the Dallas Mavericks, part of their broadcast team, is going to be joining us before it's all said and done at 3:45. We're going to talk about this series with him, and we are going to get ourselves into Warriors Live coming up at 4:30, taking you to 5:30. Network pregame starts at 5:30, and we're tipping this bad boy off just after 6 o'clock tonight. Here on 95.7 The Game, we're brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit, and again, tonight it happens. Game one begins for you and I at 4:30. That's when Warriors Live gets underway. You ready to go? I hope you are. Warriors Live brought to you by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate hub for all things sports, live games, shows, news, highlights, all in one place. It's good to have you here today on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And Ratto on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open at the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit.
Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto with you this afternoon. It's good to have you here this afternoon. What a sports day we got in front of us. Kind of a sports day sort of taking shape in our rearview mirror as well. We got day baseball around the bay today. The Rockies beat the Giants, first time in what, 13 tries dating back to last year. First time this season they've beaten the San Francisco Giants 5-3, spoiling a very well-pitched game for Logan Webb. No decision for him, though. I don't believe, Ray, he took a decision. I haven't opened up the box yet. But it's
that was a full-on vomit by the bullpen.
There you go. 5-3, Rockies win. They have finally beaten the Giants. Meanwhile, bottom of the seventh over at the Coliseum, day baseball there. I don't want to be jinxing anyone, but I think it's pretty comfortable and not an exaggeration to tell you that the A's are in trouble today. They're down 11-3 to the Minnesota Twins, who are enjoying a robust afternoon at the plate, to say the least. Congratulations to whoever won the tickets from today's morning roast. I know that somebody's going to game one, thanks to listening between the hours of 7:30 and 8 this morning. Tomorrow, be listening all day long from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Keywords all day long to text in. And boom, somebody's going to game two on Friday. Remember, playoff tickets are always available on Warriors.com. Lots going on. TNT is going to be rolling out awards during the Western Conference Finals, Ray. Starting tonight, we're going to get the NBA All-Rookie Team. That's happening in Game 1. In Game 2, we're going to get the NBA All-Defensive Team. In Game 3, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Award is going to be hanging out. That is like the NBA's version of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And in Game 4, we will get our All-NBA teams. Now, why these matter more than other postseason awards is you got players' salaries directly tied into whether or not these awards are next to their names in biographies. I mean, you can make more money by winning this and will make more money by winning this than being the sixth guy who didn't win it. So there's an awful lot of pressure to get these awards right. I know there are certain media members who have even bowed out of the conversation. I think Mark Spears gave his vote back because he did not want a say in determining what an athlete can earn. And that is built into the CBA.
Yeah, see, and it shouldn't be. The truth is you shouldn't be able to tie bonuses to awards because the awards become intensely political. And that's not the idea. The awards should basically have nothing to do with anything. And if you're going to make money off awards, it should be sort of a cumulative thing that you do commercial deals with, not contractual deals. But, you know, there's a lot of things about the NBA awards that are sort of ass backwards that they could fix but choose not to.
And it really is weird that they don't save the MVP. I think we both agreed that it's weird that they don't give the MVP out just as soon as the regular season is over, because that would be the right time to do it, and you wouldn't get all these hard feelings about who's been eliminated or what happened in the postseason that would have changed the narrative had we been voting on it now. So, like, they could do themselves a whole bunch of favors by just ending the discussion before it can even begin. And it's the biggest award in the NBA. I mean, people don't remember all NBA first teams the way that they do MVPs. So it's just weird that they give away the Heisman and then they're going to determine who wins the Fred Biletnikoff and the Ray Guy Award and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're the league and you want this to be a celebration of greatness, it doesn't make sense to have it become a celebration of arguments. There's plenty of time to argue during the regular season. But once stuff is over and you're not taking into account any playoffs at all, then there's no reason to hold it unless you're trying to just have two more weeks of arguing that you really can't monetize anyway.
Well, I mean, maybe that's where they're sort of laying up an easy, lobbing an easy layup to their media partners who they know have morning shows built around debating completely empty topics, which, let's face it, these turn into.
They're so used to doing that, though. That's the media partner's problem. You know, I don't think ESPN or TNT is calling the NBA and saying, hey, can you hold off on that NBA MVP?
Oh.
I think the NBA could do whatever they want.
You misunderstood me. I think they're doing it for ESPN, knowing that we're just going to, on silver platter, hand you 2 weeks of ridiculous, debatable content, even though we already know the answers to all these debates.
But they can allow ESPN to make its own ridiculous content, or TNT its own ridiculous content. That shouldn't be the NBA's problem. The NBA has already cashed out. And it's not like, you know, ESPN can't figure out stupid things to argue about on their own.
Oh, they have an army of producers coming up with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and literally, you know, is Dorian Finney-Smith a threat to basketball? I mean, they'll come up with that before this is over. Just because they're out
to the Warriors
stuff.
Or is it a threat to the sport of basketball?
A threat to the sport of basketball. Because a threat to the Warriors, he might be.
What's he doing to basketball?
What you want is arguments that can't be settled. So that, you know, you can trot out, you know, Patrick Beverley so he can talk for 15 minutes about how awful Chris Paul is. And then have nine other talking heads yelling at Patrick Beverley.
Or it's just insisting how good Pat Beverley just was at all that.
Yeah, well, that's what the media critics will say. But I mean, you said it yesterday. You know, let's see what his second gear is. See, say whatever else you want to say about inside the NBA. They all have second gears.
Oh yeah,
and they all have third gears because it's not a basketball show; it's a comedy with basketball as the backdrop. It's basically a high-tech barbershop. And
it's like Jerry Maguire, which is a chick flick that they wrapped up in a sports movie.
I'll trust you on that because I haven't seen it.
Of course you haven't.
Well, I'm not a movie guy. But no, it's the NBA's problems are not ESPN's problems or vice versa. And the NBA shouldn't care about that.
Yesterday, the hot take factory that is ESPN, First Take, actually had J.J. Redick, who is the enemy of one Lucas Alexander, producer of 95.7 The Game Afternoon Drive. Have you guys ever buried the hatchet, or is it still full-on war between us and J.J. Redick?
No, we're not on speaking terms.
There you go. Then it's war between us and J.J. Redick. His name is mud around here, especially when he goes talking like this.
Steph Curry is an all-timer. He is the best shooter ever. He is a champion. He should have been Finals MVP in 2015. He's one of the greatest players ever. That's all a fact. We're talking about it right now, in 2022. Who would you rather have with the ball, with the game on the line?
Steph.
It's clearly Luka Doncic.
Steph.
It's clearly Luka Doncic.
Steph.
Guys.
Not even close.
Guys,
Steph.
Think about all the stuff. This is not a knock on Steph. Think about all the stuff that you have to do. All the people that you have to involve. To get Steph Curry a shot at the end of the game. Think about all the action you have to run.
I don't think
you know what you have to do with Luka? You give him the ball.
That's
you
very disingenuous.
And he's going to create a good shot. He did it twice in the regular season. They doubled. He kicked to Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie made the shot. Luka, the size matters. The size matters at the end of a game.
Now, you know, I understand what he's saying. But at the same time, anyone who wants to boil down the Warriors into one person doing one thing by themselves just doesn't understand what the hell it is that is going on out here. Now, when Kevin Durant was here, things were a little bit different. And we all agree that that was a, even though ultimately satisfying championship level of basketball, it didn't come with the artistry that made you fall in love with the Warriors and these core three players in the first place. This team shares the ball in a way that is more dominant than any one dominant player could ever be. Can Luka get off a shot over anyone, a double team, in just about any situation from all three levels? Yes. How many guys in the NBA can really do that? It's less than 10. You know, for your life, get a bucket guy, it's less than 10. But if you were talking about one shot to win it all, I mean, not leaving any room for how that shot develops, I'd want it coming from either Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. I mean, these guys are supreme shooters in a way that even though Luka has the bigger playoff scoring average and the career average and is doing even more this year, you're talking about one shot.
it misunderstands basketball is what it does. And but those guys know that it misunderstands basketball, and they're doing the dance anyway because that's the producer.
That's why we're not going to have J.J. Redick on. That's what we don't need that kind of content around here.
Well, yeah, whether he shows up or not, I mean, he'll say different things for different people because he knows that's what his gig is now. But nobody in a basketball game ever says, we have to get the ball to X. They say, we have to get the best shot we can get. You know, if Kevon Looney has a dunk to win the game, you probably want that more than you want Stephen Curry from three, just because it's a higher percentage. So if you're going to win the game, that's all you're trying to do. You're not trying to determine, you know, who won with style points or which guy is most worthy of having the game-winning shot. All you need is the game-winning shot. And if the Mavericks win a game because Spencer Dinwiddie hits an 18-footer in the middle of the lane, it is not somehow a failure of the Maverick system or of Luka Doncic at all. All you're looking for is the last shot, not so-and-so gets the last shot. I mean, that's the thing that LeBron James kept trying to hammer into people's heads all those years. It's, you know, if I pass up the shot at the end of a game, it's not because I'm afraid to shoot. It's because somebody else has a better shot. And it took nitwits more than a decade to figure that out.
And one, the premier LeBron nitwit of them all still won't concede that there is a better open shot for player X than having four guys hang off LeBron, and LeBron should just feel compelled to take that.
No, because you get paid for being a nitwit. That's the point. It's just, that's why producers are the enemy of all human intellect. Because
all
human intellect.
Jeez, Lucas.
Lucas will be in the dock at some point.
I'll defend Lucas here. You guys don't get to talk to him like that. Come on, Ray.
He can come in here if he wants to defend himself.
We're good.
He doesn't want to come in.
My
case is closed. I'm good. The state rests.
Look, the problem isn't the producer in the guy's ear. It's the person actually saying it. Like, I've had things suggested for me to say into my ear, and when I don't agree with it, I don't say it. And that's that. And J.J. Redick, who is, you know, a guy who did nothing in his career but shoot, should understand a little bit more than the way, I mean, I guess he's just doing a segment, I guess. But
no, it's exactly, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that's exactly what he's doing. He doesn't believe a word of it. He knows how basketball works because he's not an idiot, you know. But he is accepting the parameters put on him by the guy in the booth or the woman in the booth on the rare occasions that they allow women to do those jobs. The point is, he has a choice, you're right, but if he wants to be brought back and if he wants to become a regular and become, you know, a go-to guy at a major network, you have to do what they want you to do, not what you think is right. And that's one of the reasons why there are more shoes thrown into televisions now than ever before.
I guess that's why you and I are going to remain local yokels.
Oh, I'll be dead in a month.
Joe in Burbank, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Joe?
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call. You guys do such a great job. You know, just real quick, because I know you got a lot of callers to get to. You know, momentum in sports is big. And right now, I'm a huge Warrior fan, but Dallas has momentum. Warriors have the experience, but Dallas has momentum, so that kind of evens it out.
You know, hold on, Joe, and we're not hanging up on Joe, but I don't think that there's a stitch of momentum going into this game. Not a stitch. This is a totally new series, a totally new matchup. Nothing that happened in Game 7 applies the minute they tip off Game 1. And for the Warriors, you know, momentum can be snapped if you have an injury or you're unhealthy. But I don't even know if there's momentum anywhere other than in a game itself. In between games, it's hard to find, especially this year where we've seen so many varying results. I don't even know how much it is easy to keep momentum on during a game. I mean, look at how in command the Celtics looked, only to look like they forgot how to play basketball in the third quarter last night in Miami. So, Joe, I'm not trying to step on your point here, but this is a whole new page, and it doesn't really matter what was written on the page before. It's how tonight gets written down that I think matters the most.
If there was momentum between games, every series would be a sweep. And it's not. Sweeps are harder to come by than seven gamers. You know, every game is, has a loose template about it, but every game is a separate show. And that's just, you know, you have, everybody not only starts from zero, but they start from zero in terms of, are you, do you get out of the blocks quick? Do you shoot well in the first quarter? Does it matter if you shoot well in the first quarter? I mean, there's a million different factors, which is why we watch the games till the end. It's because it isn't predictable. I mean, what was the what's been the worst series so far? Boston-Brooklyn. Why? Because Boston was never threatened. Boston just kicked four sets of ass and walked away.
You still with us, Joe?
Sure am. I haven't. No, I'm not, you're so nice to leave me on. I wouldn't hang up on you now. Before I go, I just wanted to ask you. Big concern. Golden State seems like Warriors all year long. Turnover problems. They average about 15. Dallas only averages about 9. That concerns me. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Look, it speaks to the tempo at which both teams are most comfortable playing, and as we've discussed, the Warriors have a level of you're going to turn the ball over that's baked into them that in a weird way, I know it. Some people were even disturbed by the fact, like, you know, yesterday Steve Kerr says, I don't want to talk about turnovers anymore. And Steph Curry says, I don't want to talk about turnovers anymore. We played those for you yesterday. But they aren't dismissing it because they want to ignore a problem. They're dismissing it because they understand that to play their best level of basketball, there's this weird of, you know, you got to be a little bit out of control. The Warriors at their best are just a touch out of control. It's that razor's edge that they've had so much success with. You know, life with the turnovers for the last 8 years has been pretty good. Now, life without them would theoretically be exceptional, right? I mean, right? No one is arguing to keep that amount of turnovers baked into the pie every night. But the Warriors have a level of shooting about them that makes those turnovers go away. And Ray, as we've discussed, kind of ad nauseum, is the difference between a live ball turnover and a dead ball turnover.
Yeah, the turnovers that kill you are the ones, well, again, we have said it, it's just the ones where you can't come back and prevent the basket at the other end. You know, that's the difference. That's why the 22 turnovers that they had against Memphis in the rout genuinely killed them, because it ended up being like, I want to say like 29 points.
Fast break points, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the difference. I mean, the Warriors are good enough defensively that if you give them time to set up, they're hard to score on. So if you throw the ball out of bounds, but you have a chance to set your defense up, you can get that, you can get that possession back with no harm to yourself. It's just, you know, it's unsightly at times. And the Warriors are presumed to be this flawless gem of an offense, and it really isn't. It's got some dents in it, but it works.
They can buff those dents out with the right three-point shooting percentage, yeah, I mean, any, yeah, evening.
They could sand some paint.
We've got Derek Harper, longtime Dallas Maverick. He's going to be joining us coming up next year on 95.7 The Game at 4:30 tonight. We are going to get right into Warriors Live. Obviously, that's pretty much where our focus is going to lie throughout the entire show today, except for this one little snippet right here, because there is a little news about something that is certainly in our backyard enough to let you know about. The Pac-12. The Pac-12 is going to keep a North and South format for scheduling purposes for their football conference, but they're going to have the teams with the two best records play for conference titles. Location need not apply. This was just decided hours after, maybe even minutes after, the NCAA said, okay, we're going to change any sort of, it doesn't need to be a geographically aligned conference championship. And the Pac-12 said, you know, this is something that we've wanted. This is something that the ACC apparently brought up back in 2014. And the NCAA said no, which kind of hurt themselves when you think about it, because what the Pac-12 is now going to offer you is the two teams with the best winning conference, best winning percentages fighting for the conference title. And it won't be very long before every single conference pretty much gets in line behind that new way of doing business. So basically, Ray, the next time you get an 11-1 Oregon team and an 11-1 Stanford team, there's not going to be some 9-3 UCLA team that's crashing the party because they're from the South.
On the other hand, if there's a UCLA team that's 9-3, the Pac-12 probably would still want the UCLA team because they think they can get more eyeballs out of it. The truth is, this only minimally affects their chances of getting a playoff team, which is really what this is all about. It's the idea that you'd be leaving at home the second-best team, when in fact they can't get the first-best team into the playoffs. That's their biggest problem. And there's no way of getting around that, because the problem they've got is that their football has fallen so far behind the Big Ten and the SEC, and even if you include Clemson, the ACC, that they have to figure out how to make a great first team. The second-place team is almost irrelevant to needs right now until they expand to eight teams, and they're not doing that yet.
Well, that's the thing. This isn't a solution for 1 year. This is a longer vision where, hey, the conference is getting a better brand of all-around football in it. So 3-4 years from now, the two best teams in the Pac-12 are worthy enough of playing each other, and then the team that survives that matchup actually has a buoyed resume, making a case for inclusion in the Final Four of football. So it's not going to solve the Pac-12 problems in 2022, but in 2026, 2028, 2030, that's when they hope to be, you know, back in the map. Well, they hope to be back in the map
by then. It'll be a 16-team tournament. Like the Division I AA is.
Yeah, by that time, they're going to be playing USFL teams. College football is going to be so different.
The USFL is going to be gone in a year. So is the XFL. So are all those other ones. They're having network fights about those two stupid leagues. And neither one of them is going to survive till 2024.
What do you mean network fights? Like, you take them, we don't want them?
No. Like, Fox signed... I can't remember which one of it, and ESPN signed the other, and it's not covering the one that they didn't sign. They're now pegging, they're paying attention to the USFL as though it exists and ignoring the other league, which is sort of, you know, flying in the face of their illusions of journalistic integrity.
You getting any Bay Area Panthers updates? Are they sneaking those in, Grandy? When's the last time the Bay Area Panthers got some national news?
I'll have to work on it. Play again this weekend, Saturday.
About the last time they won a game.
Saturday, listen on 95.7 The Game.
1-8?
1-7.
Well, hey, you know, you can dare to dream, I guess.
Yes.
We got much more coming up, including a conversation with Derek Harper right around the corner here on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall, and by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game. In about 45 minutes, we're going to get into Warriors Live at 5:30. It's network pregame at 6 o'clock. We're going to be tipping this bad boy off not too long after that from Chase Center. It's game one of the Western Conference Finals. On the Xfinity Mobile text line, we get the question, can Dallas blow out a team with the speed that they play with? Well, why don't you ask Phoenix Suns about that? I mean, you know, that's about as balanced a basketball team as the NBA offered to you this year. Top five offense, top five defense, and look at what Dallas did to them in the biggest game of Phoenix's year, certainly of Dallas's year. And, you know, we were trying to tell you how good Luka was yesterday, and to get you a little bit more familiar with this opponent, we're bringing in a guy who knows him even better than Ray and I could pretend to. Derek Harper, a 16-year-long NBA veteran, a dozen seasons with the Dallas Mavericks. And kids, some of you might not be old enough to understand how good Derek Harper was. A proud Fighting Illini, if there ever was one. This is a good basketball player. He is doing a whole bunch of analyst work now for Dallas Mavericks Television. It's a pleasure to have Derek Harper join us here on Damon and Ratto. Derek, thank you. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful, man. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood here in Plano, Texas. And when the sun comes out and I wake up in the morning, man, I'm happy. So thanks for asking, but I'm great.
Well, I am glad you're here with us for sure, and I'm glad the sun came up, and I can't believe that the sun is rising on the Warriors hosting game one of the Western Conference Finals. I mean, I totally thought that they were going to go to Phoenix. I'm wondering if you thought that Phoenix might win game seven, and at what point you realized that Luka Doncic might be from another planet.
Oh, I've always known that Luka was from another planet. I call him all planet, in fact, some nights. But I'm not going to speak candidly. After the first two games, I had some concern because I think Jason Kidd put it well. He said the others had to get involved and help Luka out a little bit, and they did. So, but I was still surprised that they were able to knock off the number one team in the NBA as far as record is concerned. Phoenix, I thought, would be a lot better than they were, plain and simple. I thought they allowed Dallas to stick around, and the Mavericks gained confidence against Phoenix and just never looked back.
What?
Mainly because of Luka. I mean, you get back to Dallas, and Luka is double-teamed a lot. You know, they did a lot of different things to slow him down, but then that's when the other guys were able to get involved and make some hay and make some things happen. And Dallas gained confidence on Sunday and never looked back.
What did Dallas do against Phoenix that you weren't sure they could do? Was there one thing that was a revelation, even to somebody who sees them as often as you do?
You know what I think they did is I think they became more physical against Booker, more physical against Chris Paul. They forced those guys to defend, I think, more than they're accustomed to defending. And I mean really defend. You know, it's one thing to have a good, you know, rating on the defensive end, but when you get guys involved defensively that are primarily number two, number one scorers on Phoenix's team, it changes it a little bit. You know, it puts a different dynamic on the game. I think Chris Paul, I mean, I don't know if you'll admit it or not. By the way, I'm not going to go Patrick Beverly on you because I love Chris Paul. I think he's a tremendous basketball player, Hall of Fame type player. But you put him in pick and rolls. He had to guard Luka sometimes when the Mavericks run their 1-2 pick and roll. And they just took advantage of him from that standpoint. And then I think that takes away from what you want to be and what you need to be as an offensive player. Same thing with Devin Booker. And, you know, Dallas is better. The others are better than people are giving them credit for, especially defensively. Mavericks, one of the best defensive teams in the league as far as points a game is allowed. And just had a lot of confidence against the number one record in the NBA.
Derek Harper joining us. He watches the Mavericks almost every night, doing their color on TV. And like I told you, a 16-year-long NBA career, twice NBA all-defensive team. So let me just ask you, Derek, it is up to you to slow down Luka Doncic. Now, obviously, asking one man to do that on his own is a big ask. So what would you be looking for from your coach and your teammates to slow down? I mean, there is no stopping Luka. I mean, he is in that level of superstar. You can only hope to slow him down. How do you do it? Are you throwing the entire kitchen sink at him?
Yeah, I am. Because, you know, it's that old theory of the head of the snake, right? If you can cut it off, then you have a chance to be successful. And that's when the others have to step up. Fortunately for Dallas, that has happened. It happened in the Utah Jazz series. And it certainly happened at home against the Phoenix Suns. So you got to be physical with Luka. You have to take the ball out of his hands as much as possible. I'm sure the Warriors will give him a lot of different looks. It won't look the same every single time. You know, try to jump the game up a little bit. But the thing that I'll tell you about Luka and what's going to make him like top five all-time player is when he really understands how to manipulate defenses like Magic Johnson did, like Larry Bird did. When you're the go-to guy and you get all of the attention, you got to really be really cunning at picking your spots to involve your teammates. And I think Luka is learning that. But if you notice, in the game seven, he did it. He made the right play. And that's what it's all about. I mean, Michael Jordan, if you recall, in Phoenix, in fact, found John Paxson, found Steve Kerr, because he gets all of the attention from the defense. So it comes down to making the play from there. And that's greatness as well, when you figure out when and how to involve the rest of the guys.
As you look back at the four times Dallas played Golden State, what was the thing that stood out to you with the way that Dallas played them? Or is it hard to make a judgment on that based on the fact that the Warriors did not have all their guys on the floor at the same time?
And that's a big part of it. There's no question about it. I mean, no Draymond Green, who gets more out of his ability than anybody that's ever played the game. There was no Klay Thompson, you know, no Robin for Batman and Steph. And the Mavericks could really hone in on Steph. If you look at Curry's numbers, they weren't off the chart at all, because he didn't have those other guys. You're talking about complement each other. Those guys really complement each other extremely well. So what stands out the most is that they had no answer for Luka. Luka, I think, averaged 31 points against the Warriors the three out of four games that he played against them. So they don't have an answer. So that's why I think they're going to try to take the ball out of his hands as much as they can. And I'm telling you, it may backfire, because covering this team, I have seen all year where Dorian Finney-Smith steps up, makes five threes. Reggie Bullock steps up and makes five threes. And I'm talking about, like, practice shots, because people are giving Luka so much attention. So pick your poison, man. I just think that, as much as everybody thinks this is going to be a 4-1 series facing going towards Golden State, they're going to be in for a rude awakening, because the Mavericks, when you play with house money, I hate to use that term because some of the people that use it, I'm not fans of, but when you can play as free as the Mavericks are able to play right now, I mean, Jason Kidd will tell you, we have nothing to lose. And these guys believe, they are a very resilient group, that in spite of what we might think as analysts and as experts, so-called experts, the Mavericks think that they can beat the Warriors. And that's half the battle right there, when you think that you can win. There was a time where the Warriors, people were in awe of them as a team and didn't give themselves much of a chance against Steph, Klay, Draymond, so on and so forth. That's not the case with this Mavericks team. They'll come out swinging tonight, no question.
Jason Kidd as a coach, I mean, he came in under sort of weird circumstances when Rick Carlisle left to go to Indiana. How long did it take him to get up to speed with this roster, and particularly Doncic? And how long did it take for them to get up to speed with him?
I think the team getting up to speed, I think the biggest challenge was Jason getting up to speed with his personnel. Think about coming in, replacing a guy like Rick Carlisle, who's, you know, one of those coaches that people have high regard for. Jason had to change the culture. I can tell you from covering the Mavericks that there was always tension, in my opinion, with the old regime, and not in a negative way. I'm not here to bash anybody, but there was always a little tension. It just always seemed like there was a little friction in the air every time you saw this Mavericks team. I went to two practices before the season started, and when I tell you the difference was night and day, you saw guys laughing, joking, enjoying being at practice, okay? So once you do that, once you give guys that freedom and they start to trust what you're talking about, they start to trust you wanting them to be a better defensive team, not to worry about offense, which Dallas was this year. And I'll Pat Riley told me a long time ago, defense wins championships. If you want to win a ring, you got to defend, plain and simple. Dallas bought into that when it comes to Jason Kidd, and he didn't waver. It was the first thing out of his mouth when the season started. It was two things. I don't want this team to be all about Luka. Well, sorry, J-Kid, but you can't control that because Luka is that good as a player. But the next thing that he said was he wanted this to be a better defensive team. And his guys bought into that, and they struggled all year offensively until late in the season, until the playoffs. The Mavericks were really struggling to score, a low percentage from the three-point line, which is there's a premium on making threes in this league. The defense saved the day for Dallas. And now they just feel like if they have to shut somebody down, they can.
Derek Harper here on 95.7 The Game. So if you had to shut down Steph Curry tonight, how would you go about it as a player and as the Mavericks are going to roll it out against him? We've been talking about how you're going to slow down Luka. How are the Mavs going to slow down Steph?
I have no idea. How did they slow down Chris Paul? Devin Booker. Going to be the same remedy. I mean, I would think. You know, Bullock, bigger guard, physical guard, Dorian Finney-Smith, to me, one of the most underrated players on the Mavericks roster and in the league, a two-way player that really plays physical brand of defense. That's what you do. And one guy will not slow down a guy like Steph Curry. He's too good. You have to do it collectively. Everything that he's trying to do offensively, he'll get a lot of attention. And a lot of times if you can slow down a guy like Steph, then it forces other guys to step up and make shots and make plays. To me, the key is going to be Jordan Poole, whether or not you said Steph Curry, right? If you give him enough attention, yeah, you can slow him down. But then there's Jordan Poole. The X factor to me in this series is going to be whether or not you can slow him down.
Derek Harper. Thanks an awful lot, man. It was great talking to you. You were a hell of a player. It's great to catch up with you. And, hey, if we're playing, you know, deep into a series, let's maybe do this before game 5, game 6, game 7. We'd love to catch up with you again.
Yeah, just let me know. I would love to. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Derek Harper, one of the best Dallas Mavericks there is. There was. His number's hanging in the rafters at American Airlines. That number 12, no one's wearing it again. And by the way, just a couple minutes late, let me welcome you to your 4 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.